26 minutes after 5 South African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning on our program as Safina to Ilal Jannah. It's good to see our beloved Fadilatul Ustad's face every morning, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. Well, it's the 21st of Dhul Qadah, 1443. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A early this Wednesday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Mawlana Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussein. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the nourisher, cherisher and provider of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shrah li swadri, wa yassir li amri, wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma allamtana, innaka antal alimul hakeem. All praise, and today with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter 21, Suratul Anbiya, regarding the prophets and the messengers, and verses 26, 27 and 28 we will discuss today. When one looks at the Christian faith, Allah forbid, they say that Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, whose honorable name is mentioned 25 times in the noble Quran, his honorable mother, Sayyida Maryam, Mary the Virgin, her honorable name is mentioned 34 times in the noble Quran. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is informing us that what they have done by attributing and saying that Allah has sons or son, Allah Ta'ala rejects it, Muslim reject it totally, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala was, is, will always be one alone and unique. And Almighty Allah does not have parents, does not have children, does not have partners, associates. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدَى. And they, the non-Muslims, the Christians and others, they say that he, Rahman, the one who is very, very gracious, has taken a son. Referring to Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, peace be upon him. Subhana, everlasting glory, perfection for Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. That, remember, that is an insult to say that. Insult to Almighty Allah and to Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam. Every prophet, every messenger who came from Adam, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, right up to Jesus, the last prophet of the Israelites, prophets, everyone was a Muslim. Everyone came and taught Tawheed, the oneness, uniqueness of Almighty Allah. Yes, they were prophets and messengers selected by Almighty Allah and not elected by people. Hence, we need to be clear on that issue there. And therefore, you can see, the BBC carried it, not we. We are Muslims. You can call us bias, prejudice. Therefore, BBC, if you go to their archives and documentaries, you will find that they said the right of the crescent, that Islam is rising and spreading, and remember the decline of the cross. If you go, we've been to Italy, Europe, so many countries, you will see that Christianity is dying a natural death, just like Judaism and so forth. So it can never ever stand the time, because they don't have a constitution. You look at their scriptures and books, there's addition, omission, interpolation. So this is one of the interpolations and one of the additions, that Jesus is Son of God. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So Almighty Allah rejects it. Almighty Allah transcends every weakness, every shortcoming, every defect. That is the meaning of Subhana, huwa munazzahun anil uyubi wal naqais. In Arabic we say, bal nay ibadum mukramun, that they are the honorable servants and slaves of Almighty Allah. One group of the jutlas of the Jews, they say Nabi Uzair alayhi salatu salam, Ezra, E-Z-R-A, is the son of Allah. Not all Jews, one group. They say that, why is he son of God? Allah forbid, Allah forbid, because he memorized the Torah. So imagine if he memorized the Torah, he became son of God. Then we all memorize the Quran. So it shows how futile and foolish their claim is. لا يسبقونه بالقول. None of them will make a statement before his verdict, because before the verdict of Almighty Allah, before the decree of Almighty Allah. وهم بأمره يعملون. And the command of Almighty Allah جل وعلا, remember, that is what they execute and they perform and they do. Yeah, who is Almighty Allah Jalla Wala? His knowledge all embracing, all encompassing. Nothing is hidden, obscure from Almighty Allah. Ya'alamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum. He knows what is in front of them, behind them. He knows everything. Darkness of the night and brightness of the day. Wala yashfa'un. And none of them, the Prophet's messengers, will be able to intercede. Illa liman irtada. Except those whom Almighty Allah approve of, and Allah Ta'ala will allow Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to carry out the greatest shafa'a, shafa'atul kubra, the intercession. So for all the Anbiya they will be, and prophets, but after permission, consent is given by Almighty Allah. وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. And they tremble out of the fear of Almighty Allah. So they were the greatest, they are the greatest and will remain the greatest, and the greatest of the greatest, the best of the best, Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, is Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Some international and local news. First and foremost, we see Trump is now blowing his trumpet, and he says that, Biden, you're leading America to World War III. So you can see that America also catching a good hiding there in the Ukraine, the proxy war that they are fighting there. Two, you must remember that if you take the Hajj, so what the authorities in Saudi tried, that for the Westerners that is in America and there in Canada and there in the UK, that they must go on the app. And that app is run by the Hindus, who are very close to the BJP apartheid regime. So everything turned out to be a big farce and a failure. I'll tell you two things. You must remember that give MBS and our government here anything and they will turn it into a disaster. You must remember that. You can see what happens here in South Africa, what happens there in Saudi. Leave things properly as they are, but remember, people got authority and they must direct it and abuse it. Now you find that he's cutting deals with Egypt, and then MBS will go to Turkey and white wash everything as though the Jamal Khashoggi case never took place, and the premeditated murder and Qurbani slaughtering of Jamal Khashoggi rahimahullah did not take place. You can't whitewash that. Remember that. That will always remain. Then we come, you must remember, to our own beloved country. In 1-2 days time now, according to the media, there in Port Elizabeth, there will be day zero. 100 areas, 100 places, they will not have water, and all the taps will be closed and it'll be dry. Then they are left tankers. Now, who is responsible for this disaster? I'm asking you that question. Obviously, the government, the authority, provincial government, total mismanagement and corruption to the core. Now, who suffers? The citizens suffer. The poor people will suffer the most. So therefore, we tell you that, remember, the government is a disaster for us in South Africa. So may all, and I'm going there in that part of the world. Today, inshallah, we will be in East London. Tomorrow night, evening, we will be in Queenstown. And Friday evening in Port Elizabeth, inshallah, Aziz. May Almighty Allah, we will report from there and give you the latest news, what's happening. Allah, Jalla wa'ala, make it easy for all of us in South Africa, Africa and the whole world. Today is Wednesday. Make special, special dua, inshaAllah. After Zuhur Salah today, duas are accepted at that time. As mentioned by Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, in his work, Al-Adabul Mufrad, and even Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, said it is a sahih and authentic hadith. So may Almighty Allah make the plight easy of all those who are suffering in different parts of the world.
Ustad, let's go to Sister Arena. Regarding on that, you were speaking about Hazrat Isa. She says that Jesus is our God. Please explain to me, why do you say Jesus is not our God? You're really confusing me. Remember, Jesus died for our sins. Change my mindset. Arena, please, sir, Ustad.
So I pose to you, thank you very much, my sister Arena. I pose to you three questions. When you say a certain being is God, what does it mean? It means the God must be ever living, the God must never die, the God must be the one in charge of the entire universe. But you say, my sister Arena, that Jesus was born on Christmas Day. That is a lie, according to the Quran and according to your Bible. Remember that Jesus was born, his Miladun Nabi, honorable, auspicious birth and miraculous birth took place in summer and not in winter. I don't think, Sister Arena, you've been to occupied Palestine, the rogue apartheid regime of Israel. They already having their fifth election and the sixth wave of corona is coming there to them. So nevertheless, the point I want to make, they say that, and you say it happened in winter, it means because Jesus is born in Palestine and December is midwinter. I was there in December. So remember that Luke also, your chapter in the Bible tells you the animals were grazing, and the Quran tells us that the fresh dates were given, rutaban janiya, all that happens during summer. So how can a God be born, Sister Arena? That's my question to you. So before his birth, so 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, it means there was no God, because he was not born at that time. Do you see? God has to be all-powerful. Now you said that Jesus died for your sins. So it means a God dying? So then who's running the world? I mean, you have to be realistic about all these issues, my sister Arena. Think about it there. And then third one, your own Bible tells you Easter time that Jesus was put there in the tomb. And Mary Magdalene came on the Sunday and she found the tomb was empty. So what's all that, my sister? So remember, Jesus was a mighty, mighty prophet of Almighty Allah. 25 times his noble, honorable name is mentioned in the Quran. And Mary the Virgin, Maryam al-Azra, Maryam, Mary, her honorable name is mentioned 34 times in the noble Quran. You, my sister Arena, you seem to be an intelligent person. I want you today, I give you homework for this week, today, tomorrow, whenever you get the chance, use your leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah. You take your Bible, which is corrupted today, interpolated and so forth, and you take the noble Quran, chapter 19. Chapter 19 is dedicated to Mary, Maryam. She's the only lady whose name is mentioned explicitly in the noble Quran, chapter 19. So I'm asking you, my sister, you juxtapose and draw a comparison. Who is showing much more respect and reverence and speaking the truth, the Quran Kareem or the Bible? You be the judge of that. So therefore we reject absolutely, totally. And many Christians today are realizing this whole Trinity is a big, big lie. That Jesus never ever said that. You see, there was a guy, his name was Saul. Saul was a Jutla, was a Jew. And then he says he saw a dream. And then Saul becomes Paul. So these are the Pauline theory. He brought about all these things. He hijacked the whole Christianity. Christian religion, like how the Zionists have hijacked the whole Jewish religion. So that is what has happened. Remember, my sister, you read it and then see, and read the books of Sheikh Ahmad Didat, rahimahullah, and so many things will open up for you. The truth will become manifest and clear for you.
Subhanallah. I see we've got a brother Edward in Delta asking, did you hear about the Russian Jewish Rebbe accepting Islam after intensive research? Ustaz Delta.
Yes, we read about it and we're waiting for you to embrace Islam. He went to Dagestan. The person who was speaking there didn't know how to pronounce. So remember, he said Dagestan. Not Dagestan, it's Dagestan. So you must remember that these are all Muslim areas. So we have students here in South Africa from Dagestan and so forth. The point I'm making here is that any person, Sister Ari, the rabbi, or the Christians, or the Jews, or the Hindus, or whoever, if you remove your jaundiced eye, you remove your blinkers, you remove your prejudice, then remember, everybody will realize only Islam is the truth. And simple example, show me your constitution. What is your constitution? If the Jutla says Torah, so I'll ask him, which Torah? The original Torah revealed on Moses that we believe in 100%. And your Torah, which you corrupted, if we ask the Christians, which Bible must we believe in? The King James one, the New International Version. They got so many versions of the Bible that the versions are confused. So always remember, you ask the Hindu that which book must we believe in? There's so many idols there and so forth. So remember that Islam came with a pure, pristine message and pure message for all times, all places and all circumstances. And human being realizes when that plane is crashing, my brother Delta and my brother Edward there in Auckland, New Zealand, then see what those people shout. Oh God, help us. What happened to your idols? What happened to your intermediaries? What happened to your partners? So you then, when that ship is sinking, like you must remember, Bennett's ship is sinking. So much is sinking, he's taking his yarmulke, the small hat he wears, and he's going in retirement. He had enough. He killed enough Palestinians. That's their policy. Every day, every second day, kill one Palestinian. And they think they will solve the problem. The whole world realizes that you are an apartheid, a terrorist, and a Nazi regime. So that is what plays out. And people come to know. But the Muslims are the victims everywhere. India demolishing homes, Palestine demolishing homes, and nobody takes action. Why? Because the victims are Muslim. So that is the truth. All of them are accomplices in this crime. And then you get the Arab traitors and murtads and apostates lining up to make peace with Israel. So remember, what a shame when history will be written. It will be written in these words here. That these were the traitors to Muslims and the murtads and apostates.
I see you got a new listener, Ustad. He says here, my name is Mandla. I'm listening to you, and he says he's from KwaZulu-Natal. Please, sir, I hear your program on Radio Ansar. Why is our people fighting with my president, Cyril Ramaphosa? I don't like it, sir. Mandla Ustad.
So remember that, my brother, you must ask yourself the following three questions. When there is no water coming in there in Port Elizabeth, so where does the buck stop? So day zero, first time in the history of South Africa, the $4 million or whatever, $2 million you find under the mattress. So then who is responsible for all this, my brother? ANC, remember, have destroyed this country. SAA, destroyed. Tunnel, destroyed. Eskom, destroyed. Everything they touch, they have destroyed. You must remember that. Where's the law and order? You don't see the rape, how it's increasing, how the murder is increasing, how the corruption is increasing. So you need to change the name, my brother. Not ANC, African National Congress. You have to change the C to corruption, to crime, and cadre deployment. That is what destroyed them. So that is the truth. Leave all your sentimental arguments. We don't work with sentiment. We look at what is on the ground. You from Durban. my sister and them, my family, the people there in Durban, during our fasting month for 3 weeks didn't have electricity. For 3 weeks they didn't have water. Now for 1 year, for 6 months, they're speaking of water shedding in Durban. Who's responsible for all this? I'm asking you. You got two ministers of education. And what is South Africa's education? One of the worst in the world. Even Zimbabwe and Africa's education is better. Your medical, what is good? You destroyed every hospital, basically. So that is the facts on the ground, Brother Manla. Don't bring sentimental arguments.
I see Manla says, thank you, sir. I like your radio station, Manla Ustad.
Always stick to the truth and always speak justice. Don't care about people. Always make yourself straight and say we are responsible to Almighty Allah and we will follow the manner method of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam to speak the truth. قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّا, even though the truth is bitter.
I see I've got your brother Tyron. He says, good morning to you, sir. We can't continue living in a lawless society. Enough is enough. Ustad, this is Tyrant.
Tyrant, the problem is we have too many tyrants now. You know what I mean by tyrants? We in the time of Moses and the time of Aaron, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, his honorable name is mentioned in the noble Quran the most. He was an African, dark in complexion, sheepish hair. 136 times his noble, Mubarak, blessed name is mentioned. Aaron, Harun alayhi salam, 20 times mentioned in the noble Quran. So they took on the tyrant, and that is the Pharaoh. So now we got the Pharaoh. You go to Egypt, there's a tyrant there. You go to Saudi Arabia, there's a tyrant there. You go to other countries, there's tyrants there. You must remember that. And they will shoot you first, and then they'll ask questions. You see Israel, another tyrant there. So all of them, for them to shoot and kill, BJP, same thing they do with the Muslims. How many they murdered, how many women they raped. So we have many, many tyrants in the world. They all are greedy, power drunk. You must remember that. And when a person and a party becomes power drunk, they don't care the hell of the masses. Remember that, because they know the masses are asses. See, first world country. First world country, the big cases going on. What happened in January 6th in America, in Washington, at the White House? Did Trump bring about an insurrection or not? Was Trump guilty? All this. This is your first world country. Look at France, what is happening. That Macron, as they pronounce in French, Macron, and speak from the nose, you know. So Macron is the president, but he lost his majority. So now he's worried. I can't do anything. I'm a lame duck. So this is how Almighty Allah punishes all these pharaohs of our time. Remember that. Moody, Bennett, all of them. Muslim, tinpot dictators. So Murtad. So that is how. So we need to get rid of these tyrants. Democracy is an easy way to fool the masses, because the masses are asses. Remember that, tyrant.
Ustad, I have to read this question to you. It's Arthur. He says, morning to you and to the team. I am flabbergasted with the video doing around with your Quran words printed on bikinis. But sir, even though I'm not a Muslim, I can't stand for this and I will boycott Singapore. What products do they make so I can spread the word not to support them? I am willing to die for Islam. Arthur, Ustad.
Remember, very good, that is what we want, and that is why we have this program, and therefore I tell our team, all this with the grace and mercy of Allah is nothing of us. We are sinners, we are transgressors, all these things here. So I give you three incidents. I saw that over 20-30 people last night sent it to me. I was just deleting. Any person that is a Muslim, he will cry when he sees it. Any person of justice like you, my brother Arthur, you also realize that how much hatred they have for Islam, how much hatred they have for the noble Quran, how much hatred they have for the messenger Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this all got worse after 9/11. The Israelis and Americans said, now we need a bogeyman. So after the collapse of the Soviet Union, so now we have to fix these Muslims up and so forth. So speak Islam, straight away terrorism must come in the minds of the masses and the people. So now it is free go. So now you take the Quranic verses, you take Almighty Allah's name, put on the underwear, put on the toilet paper, put on the bikini, put on the stickini, whatever they want is free, freedom of expression. But when they told Macron, you are Hitler, he wants to take them to court. So whether it's Singapore, whether it's China, whether it's any country, what we have to do is to expose all these countries. Remember that when I tell Bennett, you are a Hitler, so then you see how he feels. So when you tell the Israeli regime, you are practicing Nazi tactics, see how they feel. So, and that's why I call them out for that, because we know what they are doing. The apartheid day is 100 times worse than our apartheid in South Africa. So that's one example. Well done, Arthur. That's why I'm addressing you and all people of conscience and justice, irrespective of which faith you belong to. Yesterday, I received a message from Indian and from India and the brothers or wherever. They said, I forget the name, because the names are difficult for me to remember. This Hindu brother there, telling the lady who tried to insult Allah forbid, Allah forbid, the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sharma, if we get hold of you, we are going to cut your tongue, and jis aadmi ne aapki zaban ko kaat di, hum isko 1 crore rupiah denge. We will give them millions of rupees, and they must cut your tongue to pieces. And we telling the Modi government, kariftari kafi nahi, inko to phansi dena chahiye. That to arrest is not sufficient. She must be executed. And that is what Islam teaches. Any person, remember, who insults the master, Allah forbid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote the best book in the Shaykh al-Islam Qad Afada wa Ajada fi Hadha al-Mawdu. He wrote one of the best books on this topic. Just today I put it one side because I need it for my trip and my journey. And the book's name for you ulama and true scholars and students, read it, As-Sarimul Maslul Ala Shatimir Rasul. And that book is one of the great works of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So remember, you should be reading it and you will understand what is the Islamic law. You, my brother there, I don't know you in India, but at least you spoke the truth. Arthur, you also spoke the truth. Allah. We must stand for justice. That is what deen means justice. Our deen, Islam, is based on justice, not boot-licking people and so forth.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, I see we do have the janaza notice for Marhum Maulana Daniel van Niekerk, Ustad.
Our brother Maulana Daniel van Niekerk, I don't know him, and yesterday I announced it also at 1 o'clock in the tafsir, and I dedicated yesterday's tafsir to him. So I made few phone calls and so forth. So this is his history and geography. Maulana Daniel van Niekerk is 37 years old, and he studied at Darulum Newcastle, where I was in Newcastle for 20 years. And mashallah, that he was doing good work there in Tim Kimberley. And his wife is expecting 5 children. And the media is carrying the article something like this, that on Saturday he was kidnapped, and then there was a ransom and so forth. Allah alone knows whether there's a true story or there's more to it, some diamonds and what have you. So Allah knows what is the truth regarding that issue there. But for us as Muslims, we say that he, Maulana Daniel, you know Daniel what it means? Dan means to be near, and Yal, Il, Iya, all means Allah, the one near to Allah. So he's gone to the mercy of Almighty Allah. He passed away a shaheed, and we make dua for him and for Darulum Newcastle. It's an honor. Another student went and got glorified there, and subhanallah, he passes away as a shaheed. So we make dua to Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, Allah maghfir lahu wa rahamhu wa afihi. Allahumma zuku jannat al-firdaus al-a'la. Allah grant him the highest highest, highest stages in Jannat al-Firdaus. His family there in Kimli, now she's sitting with five children, she's expecting. We hope the people in Kimli and South Africa and anywhere else in the world that we will be able to assist her in some shape and form and so forth. She was 37 years old and he passes away, Shaheed. You got the time of Janaza, Mala?
Jusad.
Okay. Jazakallah khair. Okay, Fundal Omar, Daniel van Niekerk, pick up time 4:30 p.m. Janaza. Day Tuesday. So this was yesterday already. Okay, Kabristan, Cape Town, Cape Road, Makbara. So this was yesterday at 4:30. So anyway, at least that we announced it in this sense that we all should make dua. Rabbana khfirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Allah grant our Mawlana Daniel Jannat al-Firdaus and grant his family sabr jamil.
Somebody says here, Mufti and Mawlana Arafat, my brother and I are teachers, and we got job offers in Saudi and London. Please, can you advise, since you have traveled, which is better for as youth? Ustad,
remember that you must make istikhara, but if you're asking me personally, which is a better option for you, I'll never advise anybody to go to Saudi, nor to go work there, nor to go study there, and all that. We're dead against them on all these issues here. Yes, we have to go for Umrah, we have to go for Hajj, we have to go to Madinah Munawwara, so that nobody can stop. But to go there and teach there, you will get influence, and you speak one, two wrong words, remember, then you'll be history. So therefore, my advice to you, if you're going to London and all that, then rather you go with your wife, your children, and so forth. In the olden days, under apartheid, it was famous in South Africa, they used to say, jo Dublin jata hai, double hawker wapas aate hai. Mora, you know where is Dublin? Dublin is where? In Ireland. So there our Muslims used to go, and used to get the white woman, you see.
Allah.
And then they get married, and they can't come back to South Africa, they'll catch them for immorality act, it was known as.
Mm.
If you get married across the cultural line and so forth. So they used to then hang around here in Swaziland and neighboring countries and so forth. So all this is our dark history. Remember this type of things here. So now that you want to go, just now you come with somebody else, Christian lady, Hindu lady, non-Muslim lady, my brother. So therefore, my advice, you asking me, I give you from my heart, that a better option for you will be go London. There are many, many Muslims there. But remember, and my students are there, Sheikh Suleiman Ghani is there, Sheikh Zahir Mahmood is there, mashallah. So all these people are there, there are other great ulama also there. So but one proviso, don't go alone. You must go with your wife and with your family, then only you take up the offer. Otherwise you sit quietly here in South Africa. Local is lekker. So anyway, we came to the end of a
one more, Ustaz, one more question.
Quickly.
Dominic says, AK, you coming this week to PE. Where will you be giving a talk? I would like to meet you in person. Dominic, what's that?
Very good, Dominic. Now what you must do, you must come there. You know Malaba? So Malaba, you must come and you ask anybody, Masjid Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr Mosque, or ask them Darul Uloom, or ask anybody there in Malaba, AK's program. The prayer is 7 o'clock in the evening at night, and after that prayer there, then there will be some tilawat and recitation of Quran, and then I'll address the brothers there, and it will be for them. They won't be live on the radio. So you come, my brother Dominic, we got no problem. You want to discuss matters of bilateral importance, we're ready for you, no problem. So we're not politicians, but we speak like them. Anyway, my brother Uwesi is here. He will enlighten us regarding the news, views and interviews, what's going on in the world now. And at 7 o'clock also, he'll give you live news, inshallah al-Aziz. And after 6, after the news, will be the Adhan, Fajr Adhan, then Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, and then Mawlana Zahid Khan. Today's special guest is Mawlana Zakir Bismillah for 8:30 to 9. 11 to 12 will be the bliss of marriage, 1 to 2 tafsir, and tonight we will be inshallah in Beacon Valley, East London, program after Isha. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.